B-Pod Studios.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
You know, we've learned this year that there's going to be situations like that.
Now, back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, no!
It's the
Bengals. Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in his chest. Oh!
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Yeah, baby. It's the Bankroll Boys. And the Bankroll Boys are brought to you by DraftKings. They're down with DraftKings. DraftKings has shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week. Download DraftKings now. I have. Use the code SportsHub. Use that code SportsHub during sign up and start feeling sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Joe Murray, Danny Lifshatz, hello.
Yo. What's going on, friend?
I see you. You're behind me.
Indeed.
Just like I like you. It's like a human centipede. You behind me. I got Joey next to me. I got Wall Game taking the rear. And Rich is here. Rich is back.
I'm connected via Zoom, so I'll try not to play with myself.
Oh, it sounds great. All right. Sounds just like you're in the room. All right. So, gentlemen, we have not had a scoregami, but that was the big degenerate special because, Dan, you weren't here. And, Dan, you are the master of the degenerate special. I'll let you know that Joe Murray did not want to step on any toes, so he just went straight scoregami, which, if you're just joining us, a scoregami is a score as it is in the NFL that has never happened before. And so this goes on for the season. And last Sunday, down to the wire with two scoregami, so just keep that in mind. No reason to elaborate, but just keep that in mind. All right. So here we are. I know you guys aren't huge futures guys, but the AFC odds are out now. And the Bills, ladies and gentlemen, people are riding that team. Am I right or am I wrong here? Minus 250 or 225, I'm sorry?
Yeah, the odds are out here. Bills are the favorite to win the AFC East at 225, followed by the Patriots at 250. Dolphins plus 700 with their quarterback change. And I couldn't believe this when I saw this. The Jets are plus 30,000.
Yeah.
$100 gets you $30,000.
Yes, which, I mean, if you want to burn $100, you can feel free to do that.
I want to burn $100. Could you put $100 in the Jets for me, please?
Done.
Okay, good. $30,000, that's, you can't turn that
down. I know. $50 would get you
$50. Let's put $100 on the Jets to win the AFC East. Why not?
All right. Are we sure this is, we want Rich on Zoom?
This is not great.
No.
I'll be honest, because I can hardly hear it as well. So,
all right, let's get you down off Zoom, and let's get you back.
He got his bet in, though.
He did. Yep. He got his bet in. And Rich, I'll gamble for you, so don't worry. All right, so let's try to work on Rich's connection and maybe not have him on Zoom. All right, so are you guys going to put any money on these East odds?
Dan,
because the Patriots plus 250... now we're talking that Vegas does not like the Patriots. Is this something you do? And are the Patriots going to make the playoffs? I mean, now this is a question.
Question is, does Dan Lifshatz believe in the Bills?
I mean, after the last 2 weeks, do you?
Well, you're not the Josh. You don't like Josh Allen.
I don't either. Again, he was against the two best teams they faced in their schedule. They've pretty much crapped their pants. And again, the Patriots at least have put, you know, together good performances against some good teams. Now, last week, I think, was, you know, a bit of a bad situation. Obviously, they haven't practiced in 2 weeks. We're going to see what happens moving forward, especially this week. This is almost a must win for them if they want to win the division, Joe. So I do kind of agree there. But I think you kind of look at this team and say, you know, the Bills, you know, they're getting worse. Regression has hit since they've kind of moved away from the AFC, you know, AFC East opponents and the Rams, who, you know, again, I will continue to say to the end of the year, they got lucky on a DPI call that was not DPI. And so they pulled out a win, which they should have just blown the game because they were up by, what, 28, and they just gave up 35 or something ridiculous straight points. They should have lost that game.
The schedule for the Bills: Jets this week, Patriots next week, so that'll be a big one. Seahawks, Cardinals, Chargers, 49ers, Steelers, Broncos, Bills. Sorry, Patriots, Dolphins. I think the Patriots have a tougher schedule the rest of the way than the Bills.
No way. No way. The Patriots have a much easier schedule going forward. They still have the Jets twice. They have the Dolphins twice.
Twice, yep.
And then, I mean, just by
Dolphins
that.
Once.
49ers.
Yeah, they got the Dolphins once.
Yep, 49ers.
But both teams are the Niners.
Yep, no, I know.
All right, well, you guys are rolling hot here. I mean, you're Googling.
I'll tell you this much. Would I put $250 on it for the Patriots to win the East? Yes, I would. I don't know if this... I don't know, guys. It depends on what happens this Sunday. The Cam Newton thing's still up in the air. Is he the right guy? If they get into, trade deadline, are they in sell mode? Are they in buy mode?
Here's a better question. Do you bet the Patriots in anything these days? Because they seem to be as unsure thing as possible.
And if you believe, and we'll get into this later, but if you believe Jay Stu and do not at your own peril... Stephon Gilmore, and if you look at Jalen Ramsey, he got two first-round picks, and that would be very smart to be in a sell mode now, and especially since you're not buying on Cam Newton and Dan Lifshitz. Cam Newton, now after his performances, if you take out the Seattle game, very pedestrian, if not bad last week, speculating on injuries and stuff like that, but that's not a free pass. I mean, he is injury-prone. He was out there for a time. Are we starting to fade Cam Newton?
I'm personally not. I mean, I think that he definitely regressed last game. I know everyone killed him for the Raiders game, but I didn't think he was terrible in that game. I thought he made two bad throws in that game, and the rest of the game he was pretty solid. The offense looked pretty good with him. Obviously, he didn't play against the Chiefs, which I think that we can all unanimously agree that if he plays that game against the Chiefs, that the Patriots are at the very least in that game to the final second, if not outright winning that game. So, I mean, even if Newton played as bad as he did Sunday, I still think that it would be a significant upgrade on Hoyer. So, I don't know. I'm really not out on Cam. I think he's had, one real bad game, which is the Bears, and I think it's coming off basically 2 weeks of no practice. So, I'm not going to kill the guy and kill the team and everything. I think the coaches obviously didn't have a great job of preparation this week. And, it's kind of hard when you don't practice for 2 weeks. So I'm not going to freak out yet. I think that they rebound this week. I think the Niners were undervalued last week, and now they're being overvalued because of the performance of the Rams. And I think it's the same with the Patriots. They're now being undervalued after their performance against the Bears.
Yeah, 49ers coming into town. Patriots -2. Totals 43.5. What do you got?
I can't believe the Patriots are favored. I can't. I don't know. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I can't believe they're favorites here.
Do you buy into that they know Garoppolo? I don't. I think
they're probably going to blitz him.
Yes, but the whole idea of that they know Garoppolo, and it's not like Shanahan's some kid that they're going to be able to intimidate. I mean, Shanahan is a brilliant offensive mind. I don't think having Garoppolo on your team, do you think that means anything in a game? Because I've heard that tossed around, but I don't think that.
I mean, I think they know his game, and so I think they don't have to do as much work on him as they would for maybe other quarterbacks because they have a better understanding. But, I mean, it shouldn't affect a spread. I think it's crazy that, I think it's crazy that people don't think the Patriots should be a favorite. The Niners have been terrible this season.
They haven't played anybody.
I mean, seriously, they're two.
Arizona is their toughest game.
Their two wins are against the Jets and the Dolphins, and then this week against the Rams, a divisional opponent who, was coming in a bad spot, and they were completely overvalued. The look ahead line coming in the last weekend, the Niners ended up closing at +3. The look ahead line was -3. So I mean, it was a 6-point swing in the line just because of their early season performances, which should kind of tell you how bad this team has been. And then when they lost Raheem Mostert, they couldn't move the ball at all. They couldn't run the ball. They had to start using jet sweeps to move the ball against the Rams. So I don't know. I look at this team and say, how good are the Niners?
All right, so you like the Patriots. You like the Patriots. That's who you're going with.
If you're making me choose the game, yes, I'd take the Patriots. But, I'm probably not going to bet on it.
The line makes me think Patriots, but the loss of Mostert's going to hurt. I think what they're going to try to do is take Kittle away. I don't know if you put Gilmore on him or, they put Joan Williams on. I don't know what they're going to do, but I think Garoppolo is going to have success. And I think there's so many wide receiver options for the 49ers It's going to be tough between Ayuk's been playing well, Debo Samuel. They got this kid Bourne that's come out of nowhere that's played pretty well, and we all know what Kittle can do. So, and I think the defense of the 49ers has been better. But the line, to me, I know they're probably going to get a lot of action on the underdog in the 49ers. It kind of screams Patriots here. I don't feel good about it.
All right. Well, you don't seem both of you seem that you're going to be laying off that game. Tonight's game, real quick, Eagles giving 4.5 to the Giants. Total's 45. This game seems like a don't bet, but you
don't
two are degenerates. So quickly, are you putting money on this game? And if so, what?
If I was, it'd be the underdog.
I think I'd look towards a total tonight if I was. I think I'd probably look under.
All right, so under, and you like the Giants. All right, degenerate special. I will bet for Rich. Rich is at zero. Is that what his bankroll is? He is at zero. All right, so I will be making a bet. I have no bankroll to play with. You tell me, Dan Livshetz, what we're looking at, and I will give you how much Rich is wagering on this.
Okay, so there's only a few weeks left of the South Korean Football League. They're wrapping up their season.
Okay, so you're telling me get in now that we are in a buy mode. Okay, we only have so long. All right.
I think we have probably three or four more games, okay. So maybe another week or two.
All right, so let's take advantage.
So the Suwon Blue Wings are hosting the Seongnam Football Club.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great rivalry, yes. Yep,
very strong, very well known. I'm going under two in that game.
Oh, man. All right, so there are no percentage points. There are no double bets.
And that 1.75?
Nope. All right. Not doing that. Just taking the under two.
All right. So under two, we're playing with a bankroll. We only have 3 weeks left, which means to me, get aggressive, $500. Rich will put $500
on this game.
Is that
what it means to you? Get aggressive?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, if we're not going to be aggressive, why are we playing?
That's a good point.
All right. So who do we got? $500 on whom?
On the Suwon Blue Wings Seongnam under two.
All right.
Suwon Blue Wings.
All right. So $500 to make up for his ridiculous bet, putting $100 on the Jets to make the playoffs plus $35,000. All right. There you go. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. The degenerate special is on. $500. Rich puts $100 on the Jets plus $35,000 to make the playoffs. Or $30,000 to win the division. Plus $30,000 to win the division. $600 floating around there in the world of gambling. Can you believe it? There you have it. Joe Murray's going to stick around. We'll be back. We can talk about these Patriots. We can talk about frying this dang turkey of mine. We can talk about all these things on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Drive home with Felger and Maz this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ooh, yeah. Give it on. The Down. Joe, were you into The Down? They seem like you were kind of you were just kind of riding the wave of whatever BCM was playing at that point.
Yes, I think I told you this. I was a failed musician. I tried to sing in a band and play. And The Down in 1999.
Were a terrible, just such a mediocre band. Just really, it would have taken literally no effort to find anyone who was better than Three Doors Down. It would have taken no effort. I mean, someone could have just gone The Who. Or someone could have just gone Van Halen. Or Rat. Or anybody.
Yeah. But that's not what the 90s were about, Fred. 90s were about bad music,
this
correct?
Is 2000.
The 2000s.
Oh, 2000, were that's bad. The 2000s were about bad music.
The 2000s were bad. I mean, like POD. Woof.
Oh, they were the Christian. Yeah. Very Christian. All right. Very quickly, I was sent, and thank you to people who send me stuff. It's much appreciated. I do appreciate it. Someone sent me a copy of Eat 'Em and Smile when I was talking about it. This was unsolicited. A Ozzie Smith starting lineup from 1990. So I will ask you this. There are only so many players from each team that were given a figurine. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you this. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Red Sox. I will give you a dollar for everyone you can name, and minus if you name someone wrong or don't get someone. All right, so here we go. Name the Red Sox 1990 in the starting lineup. Go.
1990?
It is the 1990. They were given figurines, and there are seven in 1990.
Clemens.
All right, you have 30 seconds. Clemens.
Ellis Burks.
Greenwell.
Wade Boggs.
Yep, Boggs is there.
Marty Barrett.
I was just about to say Barry. Mike Boddicker. Is he on there?
10 seconds.
Who's the catcher?
Rich
Gedman?
Gedman's still there? Mm-hmm. I'll go with Gedman. That's fine.
5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm drawing a blank.
1.
Carlos Quintana.
Okay, you end up with 0.
What?
Wade Boggs, Roger Clemens, Ellis Burks, Mike Greenwell, Lee Smith, Jody Reed, Nick Asaski. Nick Asaski.
Oh, that was the one. That was the Asaski.
Nick Asaski, baby.
He had that one great year, and then what was it, Vertigo? It was something like that. He had the one great year, and then he had vertigo and was never heard from again.
All right. Well, there you go. You guys end up with nothing.
We got
what are you talking about? We got,
like, no,
and then
but
you named a bunch of wrong ones.
He subtracted one you for had, everyone we missed.
You had $1, and then you pussies wouldn't say anything for the last 5 seconds.
We had $4, and then you subtracted all four.
And then you subtracted the four because you threw out some name at the end, which gets you no money. So everyone ends
Joe,
up
Joe, we could have had 50 cents between us.
No, you could have had nothing. All right. So here's the deal. So James Stewart, don't believe him at your own peril. He is a man who is working the phones. Felger Mez, lots of news yesterday. I believe that the Red Sox did offer Mookie Betts that contract. I do. 617-779-0985. However, the other news is that James Stewart had heard that the team, and take this with a grain of salt because everyone's shopping everything within reason, and that the Patriots were either taking calls or had Stephon Gilmore on the market, and you look at what Jalen Ramsey got with, I think, only half a year left in his contract. That was 2 first-round picks, and then the Rams gave him a boatload of money. So this is the defensive player of the year. I mean, this is a guy who, depending on who you talk to, has struggled a little bit. This would mean sell mode. Your thoughts?
My belief is that that's absolutely true. And remember, they restructured Gilmore's contract this year. They gave him more money up front this year. And we had Bert Breer on right after they did it. And Bert was saying, well, they did this for a reason. Gilmore has this year and next year left on his contract. He's in his 30s now. The Patriots are great at selling high. What the Patriots did by restructuring Gilmore's contract is they set him up to make only $4 or $5 million next year. Gilmore's not going to play for that. It puts him in prime position to either be cut or to be traded. The Patriots aren't going to pay him anything close to what Ramsey got when his contract is up. I completely agree that this is certainly a possibility that the Patriots are shopping Gilmore for a first-round pick.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. Because if you can get a first-round pick, this is a team that has no chance. The expectations here are a Super Bowl, and they're not building towards a Super Bowl right now. You sell. This is sell mode. It's brilliant. If the Patriots sell, because really what's the difference? I mean, you have a young second there. I mean, you have young players that
some people think that guys like Jones and J.C. Jackson can step in right now.
And they have
starting cornerbacks. And although Jackson, was it Jackson or Jones who had the rough day last week?
Jones had the interception. Both of them had interceptions.
But one of them, J.C. Jackson had a rough, but Jones has proven, both of them have proven that they can cover big time wideouts.
Yep.
So I could completely see Bill Belichick saying, all right, fine. Fine, we drafted cornerbacks. Juwan Williams has done okay this year after a redshirt year last year, basically.
Yep.
I mean, let's go with, you know, the youth. Remember, they got rid of Revis and didn't miss a beat. I mean, they have proven
this is exactly
that they can slow teams down without the big-name guy out there. I completely agree that the Patriots are shopping Stephon Gilmore.
I would shop him, and you should get a first-round pick because obviously you're going to trade him to someone who's a cornerback away or someone who just is loading up for a Super Bowl, so obviously this is going to be a late first-round pick.
Your pick's going to be higher than that.
Yep.
So.
And so I absolutely – how much worse are you? You have no shot of making a Super Bowl this year, none. And so you, in Stephon Gilmore, you play the kids, you draft the kids, you play the kids, you get them some experience. You're at a very odd time. It certainly doesn't seem like I'd give Cam Newton any kind of money. I certainly wouldn't franchise him. Why would I want to bridge to someone else? This is the time to sell. Sell when you're not even that bad. Sell, play these young players. Sell, sell, sell.
And by the way, this is Belichick subscribes to your theory.
Yes.
Belichick well, understands he will, but regard, all right, he may not subscribe to that theory, but he subscribes to selling when the value is at its peak, which is right now.
And we also know that there was a long-ass meeting between Belichick and Kraft years ago when it came down to that he wanted to trade Brady. Mm-hmm. And that he wanted to keep Garoppolo. And this was, and Kraft put down the edict, if you believe every report, that so he wanted to do this before. And if he would have done this before, we would have been in a different situation right now.
But now so Belichick has the hammer. He could say, look, we're not nearly as good. If you want to be good for the next 5 years, we need to start making these moves right now.
Yes.
We need to draft. Now, I haven't drafted perfectly, but in the first round, you give me extra first round picks, I can turn that into something.
Right.
So I think this is a move they're considering, and it may be a move I would say go do.
Lockhart, get on the mic. We're talking quarterbacks. If I have a pick to play with, because now I have two first round picks. I make this trade, I have a late first round pick and I have a
pick in the high 20s, yeah, like 20, 21, 22, something like that.
And then I got like a, you know, like 26, 27, 28. So I have two picks in the 20s, one in the low 20s, one in the high 20s.
Yeah.
Is there a quarterback that I could take a flyer on? Obviously, very odd year. We know about the top three that will probably go in the top five.
I don't think you're going to be able to get up there. Because,
no, you won't.
Yeah.
You won't.
No, he's talking about another quarterback.
Yeah, so the reason is there a quarterback that I'm thinking about taking where I could package something to get up in the late second, or if I'm going to use my late first round, well, I guess I wouldn't package anything because I have a late first round pick. If I have a late first round pick, is there a guy I take a flyer on that is worthwhile in this draft? Because we all know about the top three.
Right.
Is there a value after that?
I can't think of
Trey Lance. Right there.
No, Lance is going to make. That's the thing. Lance is probably going to wind up in the top 10 if you read these
months. No, Lance is going to go in the top five
or top five.
The other guy I look at is Kyle Trask from Florida. You know, he's a guy that's moved up.
Florida's been good for the most part.
He likes those Florida guys.
Yeah.
Because Lockhart, is there a guy outside of those top three quarterbacks like Chase Young last year that people are going to look at and keep a pick in the top five? I mean, obviously, Trevor Lawrence is going one. The kid from Ohio State is going too.
Fields.
It is so early. It's hard to tell.
No, I know. But you knew Chase Young was a guy that was going to be a top five pick, that you could sit with the first pick and comfortably take Chase Fields. Obviously, that's not a situation this year. Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, not off the top of my head, no.
Okay, so there you go. So those top three quarterbacks are going in the top five.
Yeah.
So it's whoever. So, it's going to be tough to sit in the late first round and get anyone because if there's a quarterback like the kid from Florida, you're going to have to trade up to get him.
Right. I have a feeling Belichick would like to get a veteran anyways and then somewhere try and hit in the third round. That's what he seems to like to do is develop somebody in like the second, third, fourth round behind a veteran. So if you don't sign Cam Newton, I would imagine he's still going to sign another veteran quarterback and try and move on with him.
Would you rather have Andy Dalton right now than Cam Newton?
No. But I'm not out on Dalton, by the way. That was not his fault.
I am out. Right. Out.
No.
Out?
There's no reason
Lockhart
to be out
and I, Lockhart and
if you
I
watch
talked
the game, then you're not out on Andy Dalton.
That was not Andy Dalton's fault.
Right. Yep. I know that. Who didn't watch that game, it has John's opinion.
No. Andy Dalton was a failed quarterback at Cincinnati with all those weapons around him and a much better offensive line.
Yep.
He's horrible.
I have a quarterback name. You guys might not like it. You might not know who he is. Zach Wilson of BYU. I'm a huge BYU guy this year. I think they could run the table, be a new
McMahon. He's a new punky QB. Is he a rebel coming out of BYU?
Zach Wilson, kid can run. He can throw.
Is he Mark Wilson's son?
No.
See, Mark Wilson, the man who they wouldn't let McMahon break his record. They pulled him because he wasn't Mormon.
Former Patriot, Mark Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Back when they were really bad in the early 90s.
That's right. The punky QB known as McMahon at BYU, a rebel, not Mormon. He claims that they did not let him break the all-time passing record, now held by Ty Detmer, but it was held by Mark Wilson because he wasn't a Mormon. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to a 45-year-old whose knowledge of sports is really condensed into that area of time.
It is. It is a kid.
It is his kid.
Yeah.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You didn't think I'd know, but I knew. Based on the name and my knowledge of early 80s BYU
football.
I've
never been prouder than you than right now.
Thank you. Thank you. I put two and two together. All right, we'll be right back. By the way, Doc Emmerich going to join us this morning. He's going to be joining us at 9:20. Mr. Doc Emmerich. Very convenient. He has a book coming out right around the time of everyone praising him. But I was a fan of Doc Emmerich. I am a fan. And I contend that he's going to call games again. That this retirement, they're not going to be on national television. But he's going to pop in for like some international game, or he's going to be in Medicine Hat. You watch. He'll
sure.
admit it.
Oh, no.
He'll admit it when he talks to us. Mm-hmm. He's going to have one of those stupid tie line things, like those little boxes, mm-hmm. and he's going to be out there at some rink in the middle of nowhere, Canada, calling a game. I guarantee it. I guarantee it, because we'll talk to him, because his moving up in the ranks of hockey around the time that he did was not glamorous at all. At all. And we'll talk to him a little bit about that. Also got Dave Richard with your fantasy questions coming up in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's up? We're Toucher and Rich. I just saw a video of the Pope kissing someone's feet.
Mm-hmm.
Ho! Kissing a little
foot. I think the Pope does that a lot. He washes people's feet.
Hey, Rich. Yes. Hey. Morning.
Hi. The engineers, by the way, rock stars, thank you for dealing with almost 2 hours of unplugging and plugging things back in. So thank you to them. But yeah, that's what the Pope does, is he washes people's feet.
Yeah, he was kissing them.
Sign of humility.
Just kiss them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Give him a little kissy-kissy. All right. A
lot of family members of mine not liking it that he came out in support of the gays.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Are
not
they
liking
Facebook?
It one bit. And my whole thing is like, well, if the Pope says it, then you better accept it.
What has the Pope done? The Pope has said what?
Yeah, he came out yesterday. It was the first time that a Pope has spoken out in support of civil unions between homosexuals, which is something that I think that many Catholics have been saying, it's about damn time. I'm not
long. I don't know why people would object to something that doesn't affect them in the least. That,
but the best is, I know hardcore Catholics who are like, well, the Pope is wrong. And I'm like, well, the Pope, I think, speaks to God, technically.
I have a lot of
questions. So you're saying God is wrong.
I have a lot of questions. All right. So, first of all, mm-hmm. my feeling on being anti-gay marriage is one of complete bemusement. I don't know why you would possibly care if two people got married, how that affects you at all. It's something that literally doesn't affect you. And you can go and email me some long ass diatribe of, you know, 6 degrees of separation to something, but ultimately you're really searching for it affecting you at all. So if two people want to get married, I have absolutely no idea why. You don't go to the wedding. That's my advice. No one wants you there. You don't have to go. They'll get by without you. You're so worried about two people getting married. To think of something, and I understand fighting for the right for it, because you're fighting for the right for something that if people want to do it, what's it to you? Yes, go ahead. I agree.
Never
go
understood.
Do it. It doesn't affect you at all. That whole anti-game, like, that's what you're focusing your life on. Your life is going to be focused on that. That's your legacy. That's what you're fighting for. You have all this time to fight for things, and that's the one. All right, so if I'm Catholic in 2020... and I'm like really into Catholicism, and I'm being serious. I'm not being flippant.
Sure.
I'm being serious. So, because I don't know. I don't know anyone who's, to my knowledge, I probably do, but they don't talk about it. So if I'm very Catholic right now, because I know my grandfather was absolutely devastated. My grandfather was legally blind at a certain age, and he still walked to church every day. Blind. Went to church every day. He was a devout Catholic. The Catholic Church basically raised him. He was orphaned and all this stuff. I'll save you the whole stories, but like they raised him. And when he died, the old ass priest came back. He'd retired to Ireland and came back for the funeral. So when the molestations came out, he was devastated because, like you said, Rich, he believed that they were truly conduits to God. Like he believed that they spoke to God, and it ruined him. And it was very unpleasant, his death, because he was, it completely shook him, like completely.
Oh, yeah.
Like imagine you live your whole life, because he grew up, he was raised by priests and nuns. And so imagine that you grow up, your entire belief system, everything in your entire life raised. This is not a guy that just went to church. I mean, this is a guy who was raised in the Catholic Church completely, was his entire life. And then it comes out that these guys are, some of these guys are child molesters. And then at the worst time, because he's old and he knows he's going to die, right?
Well, it's not just that they were molesters. It's that, you know, and listen, this is speaking from someone who's been a Catholic their whole life. It's the absolute, it's being furious that it was covered up. Like, right. That's the part as a Catholic that it just is really tough to deal with.
But to you him, know, I'm just, the, you're right. And I'm just speaking it from his point of view.
Sure.
That you're talking about a guy that believed everything. And so just the act of them, you know, doing those acts to him was it shook him, and it was not pleasant being around him when he was dying because his whole faith had been destroyed, and actually quite angry at the family, our family, quite angry. But I mean, how could you do that to a guy, you know? So if I'm a Catholic in 2020, I just got sad. I just made myself sad. It was really bad, really bad when that happened. It was just like, God, why'd you do that to him? Such a wonderful man, and you just destroyed him. But so 2020, so I'm a Catholic, and it is 2020. And I'm devout. What in all reality, not flippant, not sarcastically, what is my theory on the Pope? In terms of his value, like he talks to God.
Well, it's wild because the Pope used to be somebody that most Catholics all rallied around. It's like, you know, what he says goes. But this new pope showed up, Pope Francis, who I actually really like because he's got somewhat rational views on things like gay marriage. And, you know, the Catholic Church has been behind the eight ball on these things for a long time. And finally, he's someone who comes in and goes, hey, you know, these people need to be respected. And even yesterday, as I said, he came out in favor of civil unions. There is a faction. Now, it's a smaller one because I think as the older generation starts to die off, you know, the younger one who I think is a little more open and understands what, you know, it isn't as, I guess, as stuck in their ways. You know, there is a faction of people who have hated this Pope the minute he started supporting homosexuals. And it's really weird to me because I, like you, Fred, are like, how does this hurt you in any way? Like, your justification for not wanting it is that you don't think that you think in the Bible there was something in there that says that this is wrong. But now the Pope is saying, no, it's cool. So what's your justification now?
But beyond that, can't you just be satisfied that in your mind that everyone's going to hell and you're going to heaven? Like, wouldn't that be enough satisfaction? Like, I can't even get into, like, if you believe that, fine.
That's not a Catholic thing. That's a Kirk Cameron thing. That's I think that's more Kirk Cameron than a Catholic.
No, but
there's that the left behind thing.
But if I'm living my life in this way that I believe it will pay off at the end, and other people are living their lives in this way that I believe will pay off in a negative way, why can't I just live with the, and I'm being serious, why can't I live with the knowledge that, okay, well, they're going to hell?
Because I think that you have this thing inside of you that wants to save everyone from going to hell. That's, once again, not.
But why is that
really
my obligation? Because we know, I mean.
Dude, I don't know. I don't
this
get
isn't science.
You're talking about guardians at the gate type of thing, protecting the correct way of life?
No, because there's been people who for years have used religion as a reason to justify hate. It's just happened. And it's like,
true.
You know, and this is something that, as I said, I've known people who are good people who tend to slip into that world. And I don't think that that's originally what it was supposed to be, or not originally, what it's supposed to be used for. But yet, I mean, for in history, people have done that, like throughout history. And that's one thing that yesterday, who would have thought it would have set off such a firestorm? But there is a group of Catholics who are pissed that the Pope came out and said something that I think, listen, who does it hurt, Fred? Nobody. And the only justification the Catholics have had up to this point for not wanting these unions are that, well, the Catholic Church doesn't want it. Well, now the head of the Catholic Church says it's cool. So what's your justification now? It's just to be right and to admit it's because you don't like the gays, I guess. Yeah. So it was a weird, weird thing that happened yesterday. I thought it was going to be something that was going to be universally like, all right, cool. The church has finally done something to move into the right direction. And then all of a sudden, just like, you know, pitchforks and torches. It was really weird.
So these are people like, what are they on Facebook? Are they calling you or emailing you? What are you getting out of these?
Oh, things? Yeah. Social media. There's like a bunch of, you know, all this stuff and people going crazy. And yeah, I see it on my time. You understand, I mean, I have like a million people who are like in my family, like all over. I'm friends with all of them, and you'll just see little ones sprinkle in here or there. You know, most of them think it's great, and then there's a few that are very vocal who do not like this Pope. They don't like him at all. And to that I say, well, then sorry, he's your guy. Like, he's the head of the church.
Yeah,
so
you got to run with it.
You got to run with this one, you know?
You got to run with it. All right. Doc Emmerich going to be joining us at 9:20. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. I'm getting tuckered out. I came in hot today. Came in hot at 6 o'clock.
Oh, man, you are on fire at 6:15.
You can listen to it on the podcast on 98.5thesportshub.com or on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, but
shut up, I don't want to hear you.
Yeah, I didn't want to hear from you. But I have decided that the people that are up for our first break, that we are all a community, and that is what I am trying to push, because based on my ride in, that there is not a communal feeling, that we are indeed all stars in a celestial sea of atoms, that we are all connected, like it or not, and that those of us that are up that early, that are driving into work at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I will not erupt again. I will not do it for you people that are not up at 6. I'm not a pony that can be trained to your whims and do tricks. But the people that are up and driving to work before 6 o'clock in the morning, or driving to work at 6 o'clock in the morning, that first break is for us. Us.
Yeah, you're in the
as
club.
As a collective.
You're in the club.
That is a club.
Yeah.
So that 6 o'clock break is for the club. But the problem is, when I come in hot like that, I mean, maintaining the energy. I have a nut and chocolate bag because I'm getting fat again, you know, and I'm not drinking, because what they said is when you don't drink that you're not going to get so fat because you're not going to have all those empty calories. But the good thing about excessively drinking at the end there was that I wasn't eating. And so that was evening everything out. But you would think, because you want the good cholesterol, right? So you get yourself, I enjoy these nut and chocolate, these nut harvest. And what you do is, if you like something like this, they're only seem to be available at the grocery store at the checkout aisle. But what I do is I get on Amazon, because I want to give Bezos as much money as possible. He's a wonderful man. And so what I do is I order, these are from the Frito-Lay Corporation. I will order boxes and boxes of these. But then if you look at it, John, for the, and Rich, if the most part, I mean, I'm dealing with an almond situation, a cashew situation. Very nice. There's a couple of would-be M&Ms in there.
Oh.
But not in dark chocolate's not bad for you. I mean, it has health benefits. 340 calories, though. So if you burn through one of these things, that's essentially a meal. So if you add it all up, because now I'm going crazy. I'm having chips with my sandwich at lunch. I mean, I'm going nuts. But John does all these things, and he's old and has a bad back and everything and can't exercise. But yet here he is all thin and trim,
And I'm packing it on like nobody's business.
Don't eat those peanut things every morning. I just want to warn you that.
Oh, that's right. Rich had the problem, the diverticulitis. Ooh. That's right.
Yep.
Forgot that about
was
that.
That was my breakfast for about a year and a half, and then my body said, F you! And I got the most painful diverticulitis. You remember, was it Mark Recchi who had it
no,
as well?
It was
Recchi passed a kidney stone.
Was, the old guy from St. Louis that burdened the team.
Which
Backus.
Backus. Which by the way, even Backus is like, you know, he had a ton of hockey injuries, and diverticulitis is one of the most painful things you can have. Just easy on the peanuts. Those things get turned into.
You got to mix it in. You got to mix it in with
shards.
Other things. Yeah, yeah.
I only have one bag a day. But it's
a bag of peanuts?
No. It's a small, like, snack bag.
Yeah. I had a Clif bar that was, like, loaded with peanuts in it, one a day. And
no, this is, by the way, 2.5 servings per container. So 340 for the whole package. 2.5 servings. This thing is.
I might have had two a day, actually. I loved those Clif bars. I mean, yeah. They were the most delicious things ever. But, and they were like, hey, get you going and energy.
No, that's all crap. This is nuts. But, it is, there's not a lot to it, but look at that. That's not a lot.
No.
I mean, it's about two handfuls of
nuts.
It's
a convenience store bag. It's a convenience store small bag is what that is.
Small. It's one of those narrow ones.
Yeah, yeah.
So, there you go. All right. When we come back, we should probably talk about the Patriots a little bit. Talk about this whole situation. Jimmy Stewart, if he's right, they're smart. Wanting to get rid of Stephon Gilmore and starting this rebuild on the fly now. We'll do that. No commercials here, just a headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.